Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, text 63. Iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyat guyutaram maya vimrishya etat asheshena yata ichchasi tata kuru iti te jnanam akhyatam guyad guyataram maya vimrishya etat asheshena Thus, te unto you, jnanam, knowledge, akhyatam, described, guyat, then confidential, guyataram, still more confidential, maya, by me, vimrisha, deliberating, etat, on this, asheshena, fully, yata, as, ichchasi, you like, tata, that, kuru, perform. Translation. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. I'll ask questions, so just to make sure that you're understanding. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-Bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Here the words yatechchasi tata kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the Personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Iti te jnanam akhyatam guyad guyataram maya vimrishaita dasheshena yatechasi tata kuru. Om jnanatumarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuran naratam jena tasmai shigurvena. This is a verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted quite often. Because now, after explaining the whole Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna has painstakingly dispelled whatever arguments Arjuna was presenting, whatever doubts that he had, they've all been removed. All the darkness has been removed with the torchlight of knowledge, as Krishna says, that I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance out of compassion, Krishna says. So all that has been done. Compassion has been there. Knowledge, karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti, soul, super soul, material energy. Everything, work, reactions, karma. Krishna's explained everything. But after all that, then he still respects Arjuna's individuality. He said, now I've explained confidential knowledge and more confidential knowledge. Deliberate on this fully. Vimrisha. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. So it is not dogmatism. Dogmatism means you hear some rules, don't ask any questions, just accept it. That's not what Krishna has done here. Even he's God, and he's not pulling rank. Do you know what that means? Well, it's an American expression. It means, like in the army, if a commander says, soldier, you must do this, the soldier cannot ask why or who are you, or, you know, why don't you do it yourself? He simply, because the officer is higher rank than him, he must immediately do it without question. So Krishna could have done this. He's God. He could have said, so Arjuna, you must do this. But he didn't. He gave him the choice. And he gives us the choice also. We have the same choice. I'm giving you the knowledge, I'm telling you what you should do, but it's your choice. Yatechasi tatakuru. Do what you wish to do. And if we choose to disregard Krishna's instructions, then he allows us to do that. And we come to this material world, and we can try to enjoy here imitating Krishna, trying to make a kingdom around ourselves with ourselves as the top person. And everyone else, we're trying to engage in worshiping us. Isn't that what we do in the material world? Don't you think that's what the people do? Isn't it? A businessman, he has all these people working under him. And they're very respectful to him because he pays them. Just like God. God gives out, he maintains so many people. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vididati kaman. So as Krishna maintains all living entities, the boss and the company, he's maintaining all the workers and their families. And he feels some kind of satisfaction. And he gives charity sometimes to different organizations, very charitable. And he has his wife or his girlfriends or whatever. And he has children. And he wants everyone to see him as a wonderful personality. But this is our desire. We want to be the Supreme. But this desire is doomed. It can never happen. What happens when that man gets old? 70, 75, 80. What do they do with him? Well, he certainly, very rarely is he still in charge of the company. They've already moved him out. And now they think about putting him in one of those homes for people that they don't want to have around anymore. So, where is the question of being God if you can be moved out and at some point they don't appreciate you anymore because you're not making money, you're not young, you don't have the strength, so they just put you aside. What kind of God is that? We never hear of anyone putting Krishna aside. Krishna lived 125 years on this planet, never became weak or moved aside, nor did he even look any older. He always looked like a young man, Navayovana. When the gopis came to Kurukshetra, after some time, they were still attracted to Krishna, and Krishna and the queens, he always looks young. That's one difference between God and ourselves, is that we do not look young in these bodies forever. After some time, we become old. Though, sometimes people say, why did God give me free will if he knew that I would misuse it? Better he didn't give me free will and just made me do what I'm supposed to do so I don't have to suffer. You know this philosophy? Yeah. This is a philosophy. Well, it's God's fault. He's the one who gave me free will. That's why I've gotten into so many problems. But no, it's not his fault. He's giving you good instructions. But if we don't take those instructions, then we cannot blame him. That's our own doing. We are responsible for our own activities. Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is seated as though neutral. Although he's a loving father and he gives us good advice, the ultimate decision on what to do is up to us. You can't say, when Krishna wants me to surrender, then I'll surrender. Is that a correct statement? When God wants me to surrender, then I'll surrender. No, because he already said he wants us to surrender. Now the problem is that we don't want to surrender. We're misusing our free will. So, we should never be afraid that Krishna will force us. Sometimes people are afraid even that if they go back to the spiritual world that they may be forced to stay there. That's a fear. It's a natural fear that we don't like to be forced. We don't like our free will taken away, because that is something very, very close to the soul, his freedom. Especially, you know, we talk a lot about independence. We don't like to be ruled. We like freedom to think and do as we wish. That's why sometimes we leave one country or we fight with another country, because we want to be free from someone ruling over us. Isn't it? We have this desire. We don't like to be ruled over. And Krishna understands that we have this desire. So, but the thing is that constitutionally he is the ruler. There's no one else who can carry the weight of ruling. He is the supreme authority. There's no one else who has the power, who has the knowledge, who has the compassion to maintain all these living entities eternally. Isn't that compassionate? And he's so responsible. We have a hard time maintaining a few children for a few years, what to speak of unlimited living entities eternally. He's maintaining everyone. And he never complains, oh, I have to take care of all these children. Oh, what am I going to do? It doesn't bother him. He's maintaining unlimited, every blade of grass. When you drive from one town to another, you see grass and you see trees. Every one of those blades of grass is one of Krishna's children. Krishna is maintaining, okay, give him his water, give him his nutrients from the earth, the trees, every insect. What are they eating? Where are they getting their food? Krishna's supply. The elephants are eating 100 kilos a day. They're all getting supplied. This is just one planet. There's trillions of planets in our universe, and this is just one universe out of billions and trillions of universes in the material world, which is just a fraction of the whole sky, the whole creation. Only Krishna could do this so effortlessly, and he never has headaches, he doesn't get migraines, and he never has ulcers. No, he's Anandamaya Vyasa. He's the greatest personality. He rules effortlessly. And he rules so wonderfully that he doesn't even rule directly. He expands himself as Vishnu, and Vishnu rules. Krishna doesn't even have to touch the ruling of the material world. He doesn't even bother with it. He just expands himself. He expands, then Vishnu takes care, and then he dances with the gopis. There was one man. He came to India and he was looking for God, and he went to many temples, and he went to Kali Durga temples, and he saw that Durga was smashing the demons. You've seen she rides on the lion, tiger, is it? Tiger? With the trident. She's stabbing the demons, the asuras. And Lord Shiva, he's dancing, playing on his din-din drum. He's in charge of destruction. And all the different demigods, they have some functions. They have some work to do. And then he went to a Krishna temple and he saw that Krishna has no work to perform. He's simply playing his flute and dancing with the gopis. He said, "Here's God. Now my search, this is complete. God shouldn't have to do any work." And he doesn't. Everything goes on. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. All of his energies are working automatically. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's his perfect arrangement that all the living entities are responsible for their own activities. Imagine if he made the choices for them. I was speaking with one young man, and he was complaining. He thought that the system that we have now, it needed some improvements. He thought he could improve it. He said, "I wouldn't allow them to make all these mistakes and this, you know, I would just arrange for them to do things right. But as soon as you start tampering with the free will, then you're responsible for all their activities. And then there's no question of love." See, Krishna is looking for pleasure. He's a pleasure seeker too. We have that inclination because he's a pleasure seeker, Anandamoya Vyasa. So we are manifestations for his pleasure. And if our free will is taken away, then this will interfere with his pleasure. He wants us to choose to serve him or not to serve him. That's part of his pleasure. Just like if you have a little child, a little brother or sister, you know. So you're playing with him. Now, you're bigger than him and you could control him. And you could make him do what you want. But you don't do that. You give him some independence. You say, "Come here, come on." And he says, "No," and he runs the other way. And you enjoy that. It's not that if you say, "Come here," and he doesn't come, you take a baseball bat and beat him, drag him. "I told you to come here." No, that would be a very strange mentality. You appreciate that he's got his individuality. You say, "Come," he doesn't come. You say, "Come, come." You play, then he runs, then you run. It's enjoyment. Of course, God's in control. He can control everyone. There's a story about Prime Minister Gladstone from England. So, one gentleman came to see the Prime Minister. So the secretary said, "Please wait, he's busy right now." So he sat down, he was waiting. Hours were going by and he couldn't understand, what is the Prime Minister doing? It's so important. So finally when the secretary went out for a minute, he looked in. He peeked into the office of the Prime Minister to see. And he saw that the Prime Minister was being ridden. His grandson was riding him like a horse. He was on his hands and knees, and his grandson was on his back, riding him around the room like a horse. And the man couldn't understand. I have important business to speak with the Prime Minister, and he's acting like a horse for his grandson? What is this? But this goes to show that he was getting more pleasure out of reciprocating in love with his son than just acting in his official capacity as the supreme head of a government. You see? Because this man came to see him as the supreme head of the government. But his grandson didn't even care that he was the supreme head. He was riding on his back, putting his feet on him. He was putting his feet on the supreme head of the government. He didn't care. He didn't care whether he's a big man or prime minister. He was just riding. He was just a horse. Come on, get up. That means that God appreciates more the intimate relationships with his pure devotees who don't care whether he's God, who don't care that he's the supreme, who just love him. The cowherd boys, same thing. They were playing with Krishna. They thought they were equals. They said, okay, Krishna, come on, let's fight. You and me. They would have fights. Sometimes they would have games. Krishna would lose, and then he would have to carry one of the boys on his shoulders. And Krishna was doing it. He likes that. He likes to carry the boys on his shoulders more than hearing the prayers of all the Vedas personified. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Param Sadapasya. They're praying. He likes it, but he prefers being kicked by his boyfriends while they're on his shoulders. Now, this is Krishna. He likes the relationships with devotees. And the only way he can get that is to give them their own free will and let them decide without his interference. So he will never interfere with that. That is the point of this verse. He's saying, I will never interfere with your free will. You choose, do what you want to do, and you're responsible. I'm not responsible. Your choice. But I'm giving you good advice. Do what I say, and you'll be happy. If you don't do what I say, you'll be miserable. But you can make your choice. Any questions? Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.